The Premier League on OTB.
Rashford thinks it into Cavani! Edison Cavani wins it!
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.
Hang on, 7:30 this Monday morning. You're very welcome along to OTB AM. It's Ger Gilroy and Owen Sheehan with you all the way through until 10. If you want to get involved, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on the YouTube stream. You can also get us on Twitter at OffTheBallAM or any of the other social media platforms in which we are and in which we exist these days. We're ready for you. Come at us, as you have been all weekend, ever since Ireland couldn't quite get the job done against Azerbaijan. A lot of you have been like, "Whoa, give me a new contract now, what? Yeah, well, fair play, very articulate, good man, yeah, well done. You must be very proud of yourself. Here's what's coming up between now and 10 o'clock this morning. The performance rankings, we're going to get straight into them, and Ireland will be in the red, don't worry. Sports pages at 8:05. Mark Lawrenson's thoughts, be interesting to see who he thinks should be the next Republic of Ireland manager and what the credible list of candidates is. We've got Stacey Grimes, we hope, at 8:30, celebrating Meath's victory against the Dubs in the All-Ireland final yesterday. Nathan Murphy at 8:45, talking to us about Leona Maguire, maybe a little bit about Mayo, maybe a bit about the Republic of Ireland. Jason Smith's going to join us for our Paralympic update at 9:05. Aisling O'Reilly in tears at full-time as Meath won a match, which she had predicted from like months ago, saying, this is a possibility here, the team's pretty good. It turned out she was bang on, 100% correct. And then further reaction from the weekend at 9:30. But a little bit earlier than normal, we're getting into the performance rankings.
You know, that wasn't an All-Ireland winning performance.
Probably should have won the game based on the second half performance.
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
OTBAN's performance rankings with Gillette.
I'm scratching my head. The performance was just lacked that intensity.
Bam. The performance rankings bring you the bad, the good and the grand from every weekend of sport. And we always start with the bad. We always start with a negative tone. Turns out the biggest story in Irish sport is actually a negative one this morning. So we're getting the good stuff up and running and out straight away. I can sense a tone from your conversational speak to the audience this morning, Ger, that you've got something to say about the fallout to Ireland versus Azerbaijan. They're naturally in the red, the Republic of Ireland. What do you have to say for yourself?
They should be in the red. The performance wasn't as good as it needed to be. There were mistakes made. There were mistakes made in team selection, and then there were mistakes made across the course of the game. I mean, that's obvious. There was a very good conversation I had yesterday. John Duggan was hosting, and it was Gavin Comiskey and Vinnie Perth, and I disagreed with bits that were said across the whole thing, but in general, the thrust of what was being discussed about was that Irish football is in a deep-seated crisis that has been ongoing for a long time, and it's going to be a while before we get out of that. And so what are we trying to do to get ourselves out of the crisis? Do we view the senior team in isolation and say, okay, this is the only part of the crisis that exists, or do we actually take the view that the whole thing is in crisis and needs a plan to get out of that crisis? My view is that we need a plan to get out of the crisis, and that the best person to try and spearhead that over the next period of time is going to be Stephen Kenny. The four people put forward as potential replacements are Roy Keane, Robbie Keane, Neil Lennon and Chris Hughton. I actually don't think any of those people would be better at the moment to take Ireland through the next 18 months than Stephen Kenny. That's my view on it, and I understand that a lot of people completely and fundamentally disagree with that. They think it's nonsense. Dan McDonald talked about one of the texts in yesterday. Maybe I'll call it up in a second so I don't butcher it. But it's a fairly complicated scenario, right? It's not that complicated because it's supposed to be a results game, and everybody says, if you don't get results, you have to go. I mean, okay, fair enough, but we do know it's a World Cup qualifying campaign, therefore these are more difficult. The whole notion that we expect to beat teams who are ranked 100 and whatever in the world anymore simply by virtue of the fact that our ranking used to be better than their ranking is kind of dinosaur. Like the stat that was doing the rounds about how many full-time employees Azerbaijan have in their academies versus our academies was interesting. Like, do we just not pay any attention to this? That does not excuse the team selection being wrong. It would have been great if the post-match had been, well, actually, this is why we did this, this is why we did this, this is why we did this, this is why we did this. It didn't work for us. Mm. Now, it nearly worked. In the first 6 minutes, if Aaron Connolly sticks the ball away, then we're having a completely different conversation. I think if we score in the first 8-9 minutes of the second half, we're having a completely different conversation. But such are the vagaries of football.
The text and off the ball yesterday described Stephen Kenny as an amateur in a professional world.
And Dan's point?
He says these are the extremes of opinion, but it does highlight why so many people in Irish football are invested in him working out. It's because there are people in this country who view them that way. Then he says, it's possible it's not the right man. He's not the right man for the job. But if the legacy of his time cements a view that anyone working in this country is inferior, that's not a good thing. And it's bruising in the long run because the well-being of the game is not going to be reliant on homegrown coaches. Goes on to say he's not giving him a free pass for the mistakes, but and also not a reason for extra time just because he's local. But the preconceived notions fueling some views and his struggles are not really constructively adding to the debate. It's adding an extra layer of emotion to it, though.
The view was that Brian Kerr failed because he hadn't managed at the highest level in England. And that was the view that was allowed to take hold. And to replace him, we got somebody who was managing at Walsall in Steve Staunton. And because he played for Ireland in the World Cup and so therefore was a legend. That's been the level of thinking that has gone into this type of selection and managerial selection in the past. And it is, it seems to me, at the heart of much of the criticism that people have of Kenny, that there's a kind of self-loathing involved at the middle of it. It's like, well, unless you've actually been, you know, unless you've been at Charlton, how can you actually know what it's like to speak to an adult human being about football? It's like, really? I mean, is that where we are? Is that, and how are we ever going to fix that? Are we always going to be reliant on the dysfunctional football culture in England to save our football culture here? And if that's what you want, if that's the type of life that you think is the right one for our football, well, then we should have a debate about that, because I think you're wrong. I actually don't think that, like, having some mediocre English but Irish qualified players playing for Ireland, it's not going to work anymore. Those players who may be good enough for international football are being scouted by their own country in a way. That's not to say that we shouldn't still take the children of Irish immigrants. We absolutely should, 100%. I think it's very important that we continue to do that. But it's not a policy anymore. It's not a sustainable, future-proof way of building an international side. You need a football culture, and we need somebody, I would argue, at the top of the tree who understands how that football culture works. Maybe Stephen Kenny's the wrong person for that. But I would actually give him an opportunity to find out.
And I think that's a really key point at the end. He doesn't have exclusive rights on a style of play or on a positive football culture, but it does feel that everybody who wants him out, their fix might be a quick fix in the guise of a Big Sam or a Neil Lennon. Like, Neil Lennon is the favourite right now to become the next Ireland boss if Stephen Kenny is removed. Does anybody think that that's actually a good idea? Does anybody know that that's going to be a good idea? Like, we've been talking about the Republic of Ireland national team as its own entity, really, forever, it seems to me. Not really a product of a footballing culture in Ireland whatsoever. Just this random thing that is a life of its own and has its own ways of, it has its own little universe almost, where you've got that, and then on the other side of things, in the bold corner, you've got the FAI in general, you've got the League of Ireland, you've got grassroots football. And those two things are on entirely opposite sides of the room. Surely a more progressive FAI, which we hope we have in stock now compared to the previous FAI, will start to reconnect those two things, because one can feed the other and it should be this beautifully symbiotic thing. But it's never been that way, and there are huge growing pains that are going to have to be experienced for those two things to come together. You mentioned there that we can't keep relying on a dysfunctional football system in the UK to be producing players for Ireland, or producing managers for Ireland, as it might actually be. And that becomes even more abundantly clear now, given it's going to be harder for kids to get over. It's going to be impossible for kids to go over there with new Brexit rules. That puts really an emergency state in Irish football to start producing players. And I think that should be the state of emergency across Irish football in general, that there needs to be some level of self-sustainability going on here. And that's not to say that Stephen Kenny is definitely going to work out whatsoever, but the thought process to appointing him, I thought, was sound. And the thought process behind where this project should be going seems sound to me, and it seems like something that will reap rewards eventually. But it is hard to stand over a few of the results, there's no question about that.
Yeah, look, I mean, the results are ultimately going to be the stick that everybody beats them with. And talking with Phil Egan outside, he's making the point that people are going to use this game on Tuesday night as another stick to beat them with, the team who could potentially win a group with Portugal in it. It's like, it definitely feels like there's a lot of, we're watching Messi and Ronaldo in the Champions League, and that's the football that I want my team to play. And if I can't have that, then I demand that we beat Azerbaijan 3-0 at home every time. It's like, that's not really what happens. That's not really how football works in a lot of the anger that's coming through. And then some of the anger that's coming through, they don't want progress. They don't want anything to be progressive. They just want their mates to be in charge so that there can be better access and insider information and knowledge. And I don't know. I'm pretty grimmed out by the whole response to this, as opposed to it being, right, let's examine how we're being, how we have been badly served by football and the administrators and the coverage of that over the last two decades. And like, because loads of people have been writing about this, and instead of us actually paying attention to that, and instead of us going, well, what's the net outcome of this? We end up with these kind of knives being sharpened for whoever's in the job that comes from that background, which I think, maybe I'm not explaining myself very well there, but I'm trying to get to Dan's point about people don't want Stephen Kenny to succeed because he comes from the local background, and therefore, I don't know, maybe it would confuse people that they have to pay attention to the football on their doorstep and be interested in it.
Potentially, like there's something in that. I'm not sure if people, maybe they do, but maybe I'm not sure people necessarily want that. I'm sure people want to be able to care about that, but maybe they just don't, and maybe it'll take some sort of level of persuasion that they feel needs to come from topping this group and qualifying for a World Cup. I'm not sure, but like what's an interesting kind of discussion here is what the FAI will do. Like, I think it's been discussed quite a lot what everybody thinks should happen, but what do we think will happen? What do we think the new FAI will do if we use the new in connection with the FAI? Because it seems to me that the new FAI would look an awful lot like the old FAI, were Stephen Kenny to be sacked after Tuesday night. And let's not dance around this, Jared. Like, this morning, it's been reported on a couple of the back pages that if Stephen Kenny loses tomorrow night, he is done. That is the severity of the reporting that we're seeing here. So this is, if we're to believe it, who are we seeing here? We're seeing the back of the Star, the Mail, both going with that line.
That's the opening line of the piece in the back of the Star this morning. Stephen Kenny's reign as Ireland boss could end if Serbia win at the Aviva tomorrow night, says Paul Lennon in the back of the Irish Daily Star this morning. The FAI hierarchy is increasingly concerned over the direction of the side that limped to a 1-1 draw with Azerbaijan. And then defeat would mathematically end Ireland's interest in next year's World Cup qualifiers. Can't just see any quotes in it. Board Chairman Roy Barrett stated in June he believed that Kenny should remain in his post for the next campaign. This is not the unanimous view of his fellow directors. That's what it says. This is not the unanimous view of his fellow 11 fellow directors. Should Ireland lose to the Serbs, a board meeting is expected to be called for later this week or early next week, at which Kenny's future will be discussed. Looks like the leaky board is the same as the old board. Mm. Maybe the new FAI is the same as the old FAI, I don't know. Mm.
It seems, it's like kind of hearing a song and you can't really place it, but it sounds awfully familiar. And it is interesting that's being stated. Like, I mean, that's pretty strong. It's a strong line to be your lead piece of information, that this man is under threat with his position tomorrow night without any public statements coming out, isn't it? It's like, there was no press release from the FAI saying that he's got one day to save his job. There's certainly no one going on the record saying it. So this again rings a bell, this song.
Here's the list. Roy Keane, Robbie Keane, Damien Duff, Neil Lennon, Stephen Reid, Lee Carsley and Sam Allardyce would all be contenders to succeed Kenny.
Like,
Big Sam. let's go through this. So Big Sam, what is Big Sam a progressive move for Irish football culture? Or are we going to have a team of Kevin Nolans? If that's what you want, lads, you know, great. But how's that going to help our football culture recover from the bit where we're completely reliant on England? Which is not going to happen anymore because they're going to stop taking our players because of Brexit, which we've known about for the last 5 years. And in the meantime, we've set up a brilliant academy system to make sure that those best young players are going to be... Oh, no, wait. I mean, if it wasn't for Dermot Desmond at Shamrock Rovers, would we have any... How many full-time professional coaches would we have coaching kids in this country? I don't know. Not many. So Duffer is the Ireland manager on the basis of his experience with Shelburne and with Ireland? No, because he was a brilliant footballer. That's why. Does it make any sense?
And like I think that once Sam Allardyce is thrown into the mix, I think it probably shows the direction that becomes available to you. It goes back to this point about what is the Irish national team there for, other than to, I guess, try and bludgeon your way to a World Cup every 20-something years, potentially, but probably not. Try and get to every second Euros, maybe not. And are we going to separate it totally from the point? Are we going to try and paper over the cracks that exist when it comes to everything feeding into this team by trying to bludgeon the team's way through stages? Like, to be honest with you, I'm saying that, but I'm kind of half-hearted in saying it because, like, I'm not necessarily sure the results necessarily take an uptick. Like, I don't think it is a short-term fix. I think a short-term fix would suggest that the results are going to get better straight away under one of those managers. And I don't see that. I don't see that happening at all.
I think Lee Carsley could be a potential Republic of Ireland manager in the future. But yes. Lee Carsley has a brilliant job at the moment where he is clearly on a pathway. And I don't know if he's going to give up that pathway to come to a situation with the Republic of Ireland where, you know, we like to eat our own. We feast on our own mistakes and inexperiences, and we get off on causing ourselves trouble.
Like, it does seem to me, though, that if you're compiling a list, if you want to make a case for Stephen Kenny to be sacked, you're compiling a list that has Lee Carsley on it. You're compiling a list that has Stephen Reid on it, because you know that will bring in a few more sides to your argument. That will suit your argument. Lee Carsley has no intention of leaving the FA, an organisation that has got its house in order big time over the last couple of years. Do we really think Lee Carsley would be interested in coming to the FAI? Like, I mean, it's a very convenient thing to put into a list of managers, because all of a sudden that list looks gilded in comparison to the list of Neil Lennon and Sam Allardyce. All of a sudden it's like, hey, I can be progressive with the list of progressive managers that are potential managers, I should say, that could come in and replace Stephen Kenny. Therefore, let's get rid of him. Like, is this list based in fact? Is this list actually what the FAI have compiled privately? If so, then let's have a conversation. But you can't just say, listen, Pep Guardiola could come in and replace Stephen Kenny, so therefore we need to sack Stephen Kenny. The decision to remove your manager is only as good as the replacement. Like, that is it. And right now, do I actually believe that Lee Carsley will be a replacement? No. And he's like, you're right, he's one of the better names on it. But can we get to a stage maybe where there is a decent enough record, a decent enough culture within the senior teams, the best teams under the FAI umbrella, where you can start to reattract some of that coaching talent from abroad? I'd like to think so, but I'd like to think that maybe this is the sort of pain that you need to go through in order for those conditions to exist down the line. So I don't know. It's like, I'm not convinced that there will be a quick turnaround in fortunes, to be quite honest with you, but I'm even more convinced that there won't be any sort of long-term success if such a decision is made.
You mean Neil Lennon's not the man to turn this around? Because he, you know, just coming off the back of such great work, according to all the Celtic fans.
Yeah, like, I mean, in a way I kind of feel like sorry for Neil Lennon that he'd even be dragged into this conversation, because for all we know, I mean, he's not even heard about this job coming up or hasn't even expressed any sort of private interest. He just happens to be top of the list, and therefore he's just left himself open to being criticised like that. But I mean, I just don't see that whatsoever. I think you look at somebody's recent managerial efforts, and if you're going to make a decision to sack somebody in order to bring that person in, you'd want to be a bloody good replacement, and you'd want to have a lack of doubt around your recent record and a lack of doubt about what you're actually going to bring to the table immediately. But here we are at 10 to 8 in the morning discussing what Neil Lennon will do to the formation of Irish football.
When actually we should be talking, I think. I mean, again, just if you want somebody who's at the coalface of Irish football, have a listen to what Vinnie Perth was saying yesterday when he talks about the situation that we find ourselves in being a product of years and years and years of underinvestment and neglect and factional fighting. You can see the factions. If you just take one step back, you can see the factions evident on the back pages of the papers and in the former players, and everybody seems to have their tribe, and that tribe goes back 30, 40 years, whatever. Fair enough. That's, you mentioned the word progressive. If we want something that is progressive, a lot of people don't want a solution that's progressive. They want the thing that is their tribe and best for their small faction within Irish football. And maybe that's why we're stuck. Maybe that's what we'll end up with. You would hope that somehow somebody coming from outside that scenario, the current FAI CEO, is immune from that factions, but I don't know. We'll see.
Mm. Well, what is it Jack Nicholson says at the start of The Departed, that he doesn't want to be a product of his environment, he wants his environment to be a product of him. Kind of, I guess you could say that that's what the ambition of the FAI potentially should be, that they would like their entire system to be a product of a really progressive, good national team, because there have been times in the past where there have been good national teams and it has very much seemed like total independent from the environment in which it should be a part of. I still harbour this naive belief that there are enough people within the new FAI, in inverted commas, that see why they made this decision in the first place to appoint Stephen Kenny, and see why patience needs to be taken on board at this point, and realise that a rash decision is not going to be the way forward for this new organisation or supposedly new organisation. And I would still have my doubts that they would actually take that decision that apparently is coming tomorrow night if Ireland lose. It's probably naivety on my part, but the question about whether or not the FAI are actually going to take swift action on Tuesday night if Ireland get beaten, I'm not entirely convinced.
One of the arguments is that they can't get a sponsor for the team. They can't get a sponsor for the team because the manager's not giving results. But the implication is that a new manager will get results, and a sponsor for the team will follow automatically, right? Mm. To follow that through, the replacement has to actually be better than what we have at the moment. And so which of those managers, as mentioned, is actually going to unify the country behind and say, okay, we're going to give you this next campaign to qualify or to bet in your style of play, and then it'll be the campaign after that. Bear in mind, the next campaign is a Euros campaign. And so if you're writing off that campaign with a new management team, then it's a World Cup campaign after that, which we never qualify for, even the bloated World Cup that it will be after that. And then it's the next Euros after that. So I don't know. I think we are so far steeped in blood at this point. Right.
We better move on.
We better.
We will come back to that as the morning.
Donnie Brasco, 1980, says, hashtag OTBAM, two words, Northern Ireland are qualifying for tournaments and getting results with much less resources, says Dave. But they had a manager that went through a really crappy run of form and bad results, who eventually instilled a style of play that the team believed in, and then they started to qualify. So that's a good example. I mean, I think that they would have sacked Michael O'Neill if people in the media had their way.
Yeah. If you're going to use a Northern Ireland blueprint, then the start of the Michael O'Neill era is probably worth looking at as well. We move on to Dublin. Dublin's Empire is another that we've got in red this morning. To be honest with you, it's been such a positive weekend outside of Ireland that we're a little bit of straw clutching going on here, a tiny bit, but it is kind of interesting that at the start of the year you probably would have put your money on Dublin to win in the men's and women's.
The double.
Yeah, definitely. And he probably would have had more confidence putting it on the women than the men potentially as well, given that they were going for five, given that there was probably a big All-Ireland final performance in them. Like, what has been really interesting about this Dublin team over the last few years is their searing honesty in the face of winning quite a lot, where they've been unhappy with their All-Ireland final performances, but they did win four in a row. So I definitely suspected that come an All-Ireland final that there was going to be a year where they blew apart the opposition, and that didn't happen yesterday. And that's down to Mead, who we'll get to in a little while, who deserve pretty much all the credit for it. But it's obviously kind of a little bit of a harsh thing to say about Dublin, because we wouldn't be saying this about any other county, but seeing Dublin beaten in either of those codes, it does, I'm sure, give plenty of other counties just that little inkling of hope. So, like Mayo and Cork in the women's game for sure are probably looking at yesterday's result and thinking to themselves, God, we can absolutely reach the promised land next season. It just kind of, I guess, bats away at the immortality that it seems had been attached to a few of these Dublin teams. I'm not convinced either of the teams are gone away, much less the women than the men almost, I think. And they could definitely come back and win another few in a row. We will see. But I think given the year that they've had, it's not been a great summer for the Dubs. They go into the red as an entire entity. We will get to Meath in just a moment because it is all about them. But just in the grand, quick touching on the All-Ireland men's final this weekend before we move on.
Why is this called Tyrone instead of the men's final? I mean, I think what you've done here is you're giving Tyrone that chip that their shoulder really needs. It's a full bag at this stage.
Well, potentially. The way I saw it is that the pendulum had been in Mayo's favour, and then after last week it had really felt that the pendulum had swung in Tyrone's favour. But did the pendulum swing roughly 7 or 8 days too early is my question, because yesterday when you're perusing the newspapers looking for some good All-Ireland football final preview, because of course it's the last Sunday editions before the final, you're starting to see the coronation of Tyrone. You're starting to see Joe Brolly, I think they actually pulled a quote and put it on the front of the Sunday Independent yesterday, not just the front of the sports section, the front of the Sunday Independent yesterday, saying, "I fear for Mayo." So I'm sure there are like thousands of Mayo Twitter accounts who in their drafts have, "What do you think about that, Joe Brolly?" saved with a photograph of the front of the Sunday Independent yesterday. I feel that the talk has now got so much about Mayo not knowing what to do with the shape-shifting opposition of Tyrone, and Tyrone being on a high, and that narrative has been beaten so far down the road already, that it kind of feels like Mayo are the ones who are going to usurp Tyrone and actually climb the steps of the Hogan stand. Now, we do have another 5-6 days of this to build up, so the pendulum could swing right back into Tyrone's favour. But Colm O'Rourke also on the side of tipping Tyrone yesterday. Tyrone know exactly what it's like to be tipped against going into a big game. So I just wonder if this is actually the week that suits Mayo perfectly, that their 4 weeks have allowed them to go up and down and up and down again, and they're in the perfect position going into Saturday.
Are they in the perfect? I don't know. You have them still as number one in your power rankings, right?
I do.
Which means you expect Mayo to beat Tyrone at the weekend.
I do. I'm very nervous about that. Like, I would be very nervous about making any big prediction because it's such a new thing.
There's a good piece on the back of the Examiner about what does it mean for Mayo that Sally Rooney has a book out that has been so discussed this week from Michael Moynihan. And, the question I was going to, what does this mean for Mayo? What does this mean for Mayo? What does it mean for Kerry if Tyrone win?
I don't know. I guess it means that they can go back to number three in the power rankings, maybe. Who knows? The world is certainly their oyster.
Well, you think it'd be a positive as opposed to a negative?
By the All-Ireland champions.
Would that change? I hadn't even thought about that. It's more the ghosts.
But it's Malachy Kirkin making the point in the Irish Times this morning that not everybody, but a lot of counties would be watching this year's All-Ireland final thinking, Jesus, that could have been us. Like, there are a heap of counties in Ulster who'll feel that about Tyrone, Galway will feel it about Mayo, Dublin will definitely be feeling it, and Kerry will definitely be feeling
it. I don't think Galway are looking at Mayo and thinking we're as good as that. I don't think they are. I don't think that's true. I think Monaghan and Armagh and Donegal would be looking at it going, we're close but not that far away. Not that it could be us, because I don't think those counties have the same belief that Tyrone have, because Tyrone have in their culture this thing which is like, you know, being the zombie killer of the greatest Kerry team since the 70s,
and nobody else really has that as well, and they have one of those.
Donegal should have it, shouldn't they?
You
in retrospect, I'm disappointed that this Donegal team hasn't kicked on.
And there have been a number of excuses which have been legitimate at times, in fairness, down through the years. This year, I think, is going to sting them more than any other year if Tyrone win the All-Ireland, just given how that game against Tyrone panned out for them. Murphy getting sent off, Murphy missing a penalty before that. Like, that is a desperate way to lose.
You get injured very early as well.
Yeah, it's a desperate way to lose any game, and to lose it to an All-Ireland champion would be just gut-wrenching. But Tyrone have that, as you say, that experience of being the zombie killers of the past that I don't think many other counties, perhaps no other county really has, and that's what has got them over the line, their know-how in that big game against Kerry, which maybe they didn't even know that they had until they actually did the job. So I don't think necessarily it's a fair comparison, but I definitely think that those three counties and Ulster will be looking at Tyrone and saying, on the pitch, when it comes to the talent of players, we feel that we're almost as good as Tyrone, but when it comes to the know-how to actually win these games, maybe they're just a level above. So
you didn't tell me yet which is worse for Kerry, a Mayo victory or a Tyrone victory? So you actually think Tyrone victory could be good for Kerry?
No, a Tyrone victory would be worse. I think everybody wants to see Mayo win the All-Ireland this year, and I think regardless of what that
what if they're just not ready though? I don't think they're ready.
You think that, but yeah, and in fairness, if they're not ready, who cares, because Mayo have always come back and you can't write them off
for next year.
Whereas with Tyrone, is there a sense that maybe so we could have a new championship next year, and we probably will have a new championship next year, and given they've like obviously had some precarious draws in the past, they've got to go through it the hard way every year, that maybe they need to strike while the iron is hot this year and Mayo don't. But like, even as you're saying that kind of sounds ridiculous, because Mayo have had to go through the hard paths themselves in the past, had to play Dublin in so many finals, and this year now they can beat Tyrone. So like, this probably has an added layer of pressure to it from a Mayo perspective too. Like, they are bookies' favourites still, I assume
they are. Yeah. I think has the price shortened a little bit. Tyrone are 11-8, Mayo are 6-5 on. Mayo -1 is 11-10. Tyrone +1 is 11-10 on. So
yeah. So I just feel that things have kind of swung back a little bit in Mayo's favour after the way the narrative's gone at the weekend. But it's just five more days for the people of both of these counties to get utterly carried away, as should be the case on All-Ireland final week. And we'll have plenty build up for you as the week goes on. We should get into some of the good things from the weekend, because there were plenty good things to talk about. Meath, I think, is where we're going to start this morning. And this was just sensational yesterday. I tweeted that this has knocked Offaly off top spot as the best Gaelic Games moment of the summer. And they were definitely similar on joy. They may not have had Shane Lowry in the stands in jubilant form, but they certainly had Sean Boylan getting greeted by a bunch of the players, which was a pretty emotional thing to see. We had Meath fans all gather at the front of the hill in a mosh pit type scenario, which we haven't seen from Meath fans in so long, and we definitely haven't seen at a women's final ever really, which was just brilliant to see. Of course, it is been one of the things that has been said about the women's game in the past, is that the final gets so much attention and maybe the rest of the season needs to catch up. But I wonder how aware the Meath players were of that before going into the final. They played in the All-Ireland final day last year. Granted, it was during COVID, so they wouldn't have got the full sense of the occasion, but they would have known how big an occasion this was. They would have known how much this was a real opportunity for them, given the chasing pack may actually kind of, I don't know, everybody will know what Meath are come next season. And I kind of felt that they might have needed to win yesterday, and it just seemed that pressure was not a factor whatsoever in how they played. They had a very clear, coherent game plan, get bodies behind the ball, break at speed. When you see Vicky Wall pop up with number 13 in her back for the throw-in at the start, and then not go in full forward and actually hang around the middle third and actually be the one woman counter-attack on many an occasion, like an actual human laser beam at times, you kind of started to think, right, this is a team that's well equipped to win this. The goal was sensational. I'm not sure if she meant it. She probably didn't, but you need those rubs of the green at times. The keeper was so far off the line, in fairness.
I don't even think okay, Grant, you can live your life like the little negative Nelly that you are, if you're like, oh, this amazing thing that I've just seen, there's no way that this incredible athlete who like does nothing but do this all the time could possibly have meant it, because my tiny brain can't imagine it. If that's how we're going to live our lives these days, when you see something amazing, no, there's no way that golfer tried to get the ball in the hole from that distance. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I didn't really think too much about it, because it was a sensational goal.
You catch the ball from a kick out, the keeper's like 25 yards off the line, you have a go. What? Who's gonna give you shit for that? Nobody. They should have done it against Kerry, or Kerry should have done it against Tyrone, shouldn't they? There was a chance.
But Meath were just absolutely incredible yesterday. Just this, and I think that this would have been like a lot of people's first time watching a full 60 minutes of this team in action. And I think now we've started to come to the realisation that there was absolutely nothing fortuitous, nothing fluky about the way they managed to get to the final, and much less about the way they managed to win the final.
It is a fluke that they beat Cork in that scenario, because they're miles behind games in the last 30 seconds and they needed to score two goals, right?
Yeah, and like, I mean, there's a bit of a Cork collapse about that, but they were definitely good enough quality-wise to beat Cork, and they were definitely at home at this level, which is the very top. Like, it does create a beautiful rivalry, you suspect, over the next little while between Meath and Dublin.
And Cork. Cork must be thinking, Cork beat them in the first round of the championship earlier, and then in the group stage, and then get beaten by them, like, in... I mean, there's no stoppage time, obviously, but you know what I mean? In, like, the last kick of the game. Like, normally what happens when a team has one of those squeak into a final, they kind of underperform, right? Because it's like, ah, look, that was our All-Ireland final, but there was none of that. It's mayhem. It's really weird when you see a team burst through like this, because it almost never happens.
Or what you get is like some sort of gallant defeat at some stage in the season where they like they come so far but then end up coming up short just a little bit, and it just never happened to this team. The comeback against Cork is obviously spectacular and it is insane, and of course Cork will be kicking themselves, but there is that attitude about this Meath team where they also had to capitalise on certain things that were handed to them late on in that Cork game. But it was that attitude that you kind of thought of late on in the game yesterday where you're like, there's no way they're losing this. There's absolutely no way. Like, even okay, so in the last 60 seconds they're playing keep ball and they're going backwards, as you should be doing when there's a hooter system in place. But it even felt with like 3 minutes left on the clock when they got like one of their last pieces of possession, they hadn't retreated into that level just yet. They were like, we need another score. And it's like, I don't know, I think we talk so much about game smarts and experience and how you need to be there and almost lose one to win one. All those were kind of deemed irrelevant and nonsensical by Meath, really.
Well, the only thing is that they had lost a couple of All-Ireland finals like at intermediate before they got up, and so that the speed at which they were able to absorb those lessons and then get new talent into the team, like, that's the other thing that we haven't really spoken about here, is that they have very, very young but sensational talent. So that would certainly give you hope that this is a team that's going to be around for the next couple of years and will drive standards and, as you said, drive interest. And like, because it did look like it was getting a bit boring there with the Dubs just kind of handily keeping teams at arm's length and not being able to be beaten. And then obviously they have the pick, and the amount of women who are playing Gaelic football has exploded in the last decade. And so the next surge and input through of talent that's coming through in Dublin is going to be huge. And now other counties are going to see, well, maybe if we regrade and get everybody organised and get it, you know, everybody organised in the same way that Meath have done, there's a template there.
Yeah, like, it was also interesting as well, looking at what Mick Bowen had to say afterwards. Like, his interview with Aisling was amazing, actually, like, really emotional after the game. And even on TV, he was very quick to make a point about the quality of the spectacle on show. And it was a brilliant final. It was the best final in a while, especially that first half. It was so thrilling to see Meath kind of get their heads in front so spectacularly in that first half. But Bowden was quick to point out that, I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I think it should have been enjoyed, that spectacle. And that's been something that he's been a big, like, he's been so vocal in favour of that for the last little while, that there needs to be a spectacle on the biggest day of all, because everybody knows it gets the biggest amount of bums in seats, it gets far more eyeballs than any other part of the season, and having a good spectacle on that day is so important. And it has been something that's kind of put a dampener on the last couple of finals for him, and he was consistent in that yesterday. Despite losing, he could take some sort of silver lining out of the fact that it was a brilliant game and a really good performance from Meath.
Alright, next,
Leona Maguire, because she is absolutely sensational. I mean, if we're talking about like Vicky Wall being a laser beam, then I don't know what Leona Maguire is. Just like the coolest sports person from this country, I think it's fair to say. Like, even, I mean, there's a great sense of anybody really after they get interviewed in the immediate aftermath of such an amazing day. Like, 3.5 out of 4 points so far. Nathan was making the point on Twitter that if she wins her singles match today, it will be the best rookie performance ever in the history of the Solheim Cup. So this is the standard she's coming off.
Not bad.
And even like speaking to Henny Koyak in the immediate aftermath, it's just kind of like, everything is fine, everything is calm. I mean, what did I, like, why are you even talking to me? I mean, like, I just played a regular round of golf, and it's just incredible to see her bring that level of quality in her first appearance, which nobody who will have watched her play a lot will have been that surprised by. Like, it's been mentioned that she had to fight, like, if you want to like keep making the Meath comparisons, the way Meath had to fight at intermediate level for so long to get that level of bottle. Like, I mean, at amateur level, Leona Maguire was doing something similar. And I guess that probably is in the reservoir when she has a massive high pressure week ahead of her, like the Salon Cup. I should say it's a week that should be high pressure, but it's not high pressure for her. There just cannot be, the way she's spoken and the way she's performed. And she's playing with Mel Reid, or has been playing with Mel Reid for a lot of the weekend, and Mel Reid is injured. I think it's a neck injury she has at the moment. So she's carrying an injured teammate. She's coming up against some of the best players in the world, literally the world number one yesterday, and she is flying. It is an absolutely incredible couple of days that we've seen from her. The state of play is that they're from yesterday's perspective. So they would go into yesterday with a 3-point advantage, but then it fades pretty much as the four balls get underway. They won three of the four, or of the four morning foursomes, I should say, USA, and then Team USA were briefly leading three of the afternoon four balls. So it was looking like this could be a situation where you go into Monday with the USA in the lead. Okay. But they managed to pull it back, and yeah, sorry.
We'll talk more about this a little later on with Nathan as well. If you want to get involved this morning, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. That is the performance rankings this week. If you want to get involved in our competition, you can win a Gillette starter pack. All you got to do is tell us who you think should be in the red, who you think should be in the amber, who you think should be in the green. Bonus points for creativity this morning, folks. So don't just give us Stephen Kenny in the red. Don't just give us Ireland in the red. Give us reasons why. And, you know, we're a big... Put us in the red if you want. We can take it. We're going to take a quick break. We're back with Mark Lawrence and Nathan, as I said, talking about Leona Maguire. We're going to talk with Stacey Grimes about Meath footballers' first All-Ireland football title. Next.
OTB AM on OTB Sports Radio, Ireland's first and only sports radio station.
The Premier League on OTB.
Rashford thinks it into Cavani! Edison Cavani wins it!
Exclusive Premier League live commentaries every Sunday. The very best expert analysis on your phone and for free. Download the OTB Sports app now.